Open in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 2, verse 22. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James. It says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful again for this opportunity to worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your word. As it says in John 17, as Jesus prayed for us, thy word is truth. So we thank you. We continue in your word tonight, and that qualifies us to be disciples indeed. So I thank you for the discipline, the obedience, the willingness, the correction, the instruction, the inspiration, all that comes with being a disciple, all that comes with your word entering into our hearts, renewing our minds. We thank you, Father, that if there's any traditions and doctrines of men still lingering, we just root it out. Thank you, Father, that your word will expose it, that we'll be delivered from it, we'll be set free from it. It will no longer hinder us. We will be able to move forward and break out because of what your word promises. So we give you the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, over the last couple of months, actually all the way back to January or July 1st, I started casting vision about the direction of the this church and the transition to a new church. And this scripture was one of the main scriptures I gave as an example, but we looked at Matthew 9's version of it. We'll look at that in a minute. And that was a specific scripture that was given to me, or I was led to, I could say, as I was studying, that helped prepare the way. You know, God gives us things little by little. He doesn't show us the whole plan all at once, does he? I think if he showed us the whole plan all at once, some of us, we'd get probably freaked out, and we'd back off and wouldn't even go forward. So sometimes we have to take one little step at a time. And I can honestly say since last June, as we've been going through the summer, and I don't know about you, but this summer has flown by faster than any summer I've ever experienced. I don't know how we are already here at the end of August, and it's just going so fast. It's just something is happening. And I think because we're getting closer and closer to eternity, something's happening. Time isn't time anymore. We're just being caught up, and God is like a big magnet. He's just pulling everybody towards us, towards him, us towards him. And we're just, it's speeding up, folks. It's coming. Whatever it is, it's coming. Glory to God. So we need to take the time to keep reminding ourselves of this new journey. And that's really, in fact, I'm just going to go back and go through some of those because it's been a couple months. And sometimes it's good to refresh and renew our minds to this. But I start out with Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where God spoke to Abraham and said, "Go forth and leave your own native land. This will be for your own advantage. And go to the land that I will guide you and show you, and I will bless you. Your name will be distinguished." He says, "I will make you a great nation. You will be a blessing to many others." And he goes on and says, "As you venture forth on this new journey," and that was the title of the message back then, this new journey. And I shared a number of things from Hebrews 11 about how by faith Abraham obeyed God when he was called out, and not knowing where he was going, in that pioneer mode that we discussed. As the message says, Hebrews 11:8, "By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. And when he left, he had no idea where he was going." Now, that doesn't sound like a real kind of confident faith statement, does it? "Hey, we're going, but I have no clue where we're going. I have a better idea where we're going now, more so than I did 2 months ago." In fact, we're narrowing it down right now. I know some people are going to want a progress report. We're this close to getting some things finalized. Everything's come in as far as figures, and they came in on within the boundaries of what we had hoped for. In fact, right on the dollar that our contract or our realtor had said they probably would. His estimate, he hit it spot on. And so hopefully Monday or Tuesday we'll have a final answer about some things. So we're moving forward. Glory to God. I can't say this is it yet. We're just another step forward. But that's what you do. You walk by faith, not by sight.
That's right.
And one step at a time. So all through these passages that we looked back at back in early July, we're all laying the foundation of this transition. It's trying to give us vision as to where we're going to go and what we're going to do. 2 Corinthians 3:11 is another scripture we talked about. He said, if the old which has been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious is the new which should remain? And from that, then we led into Matthew 9:16 and said, no one puts a new piece of cloth on an old garment, for if they do, the new patch will rip and damage the old, making the tear worse and ruining the old garment. But then he goes into the new wineskins, the parable continues. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins and both are preserved. So here's that, put off the old, put on the new, Ephesians 4:22. They finished the old life, began a new life, Colossians 3. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Those are all scriptures we spent time on. What is it? What is the common thread? There's something old and there's something new. Now see, as human beings, we like the old. We like the comfortable, the familiar. I have some old shirts that I will not get rid of because they're just comfortable. You know, the other day, my wife said, honey, we got to go someplace. And I said, wait a minute, I got to change my shirt. Why is that? Because I have one of those old grubby shirts on. And there's no way I was going out in public in it. Because it was not a public domain shirt any longer. But that's what happens to us when we get comfortable with something. We like it. We enjoy it. It's kind of becomes our default. And sometimes I think what happens is certain things in life become our default. And, you know, church can even become a default.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're just going to the same old church, the same old time, the same old place, doing the same old thing. It's just same old, same old. And then every now and then God says, we're done with same old. Old things of what? All things have become new.
That's right.
And so when he started dealing with us about moving and transitioning, and honestly, as you know, I had to deal with some challenges in my own life about, okay, what are we going to do with all this stuff? I mean, how are we going to transition to a new church? How are we going to transition to a new location? In the end of July, I did a couple of messages, one of them called A New Thing from Isaiah 43, and we actually passed out a handout, and I trust that most of you got that handout. If you didn't, let me know. I'll print up some more. But I trust that you are praying that and confessing that over us and over the church. Because as a new thing gets going, it has to take root. You know, if you plant something new, you just don't put it down and then walk away. And we had some new landscaping done at our house here this summer. And again, I can't believe how quickly it was done on August 1st. And I was talking to my wife about it yesterday, I think it was, and I said, you know, the nice thing about all this rain is we haven't had to water very much. But, man, that was almost 4 weeks ago already. How could that be? It seems like it was just like 10 days ago they were there digging everything up and putting down the rock. And it's like, man, I just don't know where this month went. And then you realize you're so busy with life that you can miss a lot. You can all of a sudden realize, all right, have I been focusing on what I need to focus on? Or am I so caught up in the momentum of life that I'm letting things that should be dealt with get away from me? And so I've had to be very disciplined. I have in my little journal book, my first little tab there is first things first, what I should do every day, things that I need to focus on every day. And then I'll find myself 2 days have gone by and I haven't done it. No, I'm not into works. So I just say, oh Father, I thank you that, you know, whatever I said a day ago or 2 days ago or 3 days ago, my words are still working. Glory to God. It's not like they went out and fell on the ground. Hallelujah. My words are still working because I believe that words are life and they are spirit and they keep going. But you know what? Every now and then you got to get up and speak it again because you need to refresh and renew yourself. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the best place to hear the faith come is out of your own mouth.
Yeah.
Especially if you were in the equip class, you know that. So when we start looking at these scriptures, and especially Isaiah 43, where he says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And we talked about the week before that, the book of Revelation. I know people got nervous when I said turn to the book of Revelation. But we talked about the seven churches, and we went through the positives and the negatives. We went through the things that Jesus commended each church about, and we went through each thing that Jesus reproved the churches about. And we talked about the fact that as we went through those lists and we named all those things, we said what we're going to focus on as a new church, as a going forward as a new church, are all the things that he, in a sense, commended them. And what we're going to avoid as best we can and try to stay away from and get caught up in is those things that he rebuked those churches about. And so we know exactly, because he walks among the churches. He is there in each local church. You know, some people still struggle with this idea of the universal church or the local church. We were just talking with somebody again here recently about it. And, you know, somebody that, I won't get into the details, I'll just say that this conversation was very interesting. And it was someone that hadn't been involved in a local church and then finally realized I needed to be involved in a local church and got involved in my pastor friends. And so you realize all of a sudden that the necessity of it, the need for it, the equipping that comes, the fellowship that comes, all the things that Act 242 talks about. And all of a sudden here you are saying, all right, Jesus is walking amongst us. Jesus is walking through this church right now. Whether we realize it or not, he is very present. How do I know that? Because wherever two or three are gathered, what does he say? He's in our midst. You say, really? I thought he was seated at the right hand. Yeah, he can be there and here at the same time. He's not restricted by time, space, or anything else. Glory to God. Christ in you, the hope of glory by the Holy Spirit, is always ever present. And he's always, in a sense, revealing to us and to the Father and to the Son what's going on. And I don't know about you, but I want to stay on track with what he's got for us. And so we looked at that. We said, I'm going to stay focused on that and stay hooked up, in a sense, with this new body, this new thing that God is doing. We looked at 1 Corinthians 15. He says, what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of what wheat or whatever you were planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. And in a sense, what we were talking about is the fact that God was going to be planting a new seed. And it came out of the church here, as established Heart Community Church, that, in a sense, has come to the conclusion of a harvest. I don't know how else to explain it. I was talking to... a lot of you know who Brother Dave Ogren is. He's in town, so he came over to the house, and Pastor Mary and I had time with him, spent a couple hours talking with him, getting updates on what was going on in Cuba and a couple other places where he's working, his mission stuff. But yet he was very interested and very committed to hearing about our church. He was very excited about the direction we were going. Man, what you're doing is God. And I'm going, well, I'm glad you agree. We got your agreement. And he says, well, let's pray about it. So he just stopped right there and prayed for us and prayed for the church and prayed for our stuff. And I like it when people out there are praying for us. Dr. Pastor Murray just was in connection with someone else today out there, and Patty Dunnick, and she says, we're praying for you guys. So I'm glad people all over the world are praying for us. Hallelujah. I could get off on that, but I won't. So we went in talking about newness of life last couple weeks ago. And in that principle of newness of life, I think what we have to understand is that God desires always for us to be moving forward. He doesn't want us to sit back and become stagnant. And I almost thought about bringing the prophecy, or the word, in a sense, that some people call it a prophecy, but it was a word given in due season by Dick Mills to about St. Paul, let's put it that way. And he said one of the things that the Twin Cities, and specifically St. Paul and the environments around it, has a spirit of complacency, that you're always fighting a spirit of complacency. And just recently I was with some pastors and we were praying about that and dealing with it and talking about it. Because we have to keep stirring ourselves up, because just being in this world, it's like going through, like trudging through snowdrifts. You just kind of get slowed down. And because you just slow down, you slow down, eventually you get nice and, you know, you just get so cold, you just stop. And if you're not careful, you'll just freeze to death. And you know what? We joke about Minnesota being God's frozen chosen as far as the church. But we need not be the frozen chosen. Amen. We need to be on fire for God and not become complacent or lazy or comfortable with kind of the status quo. We need to press in to the things that God has. So when we start looking at this newness of life, these things in Romans 6:4, he said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, as like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. All of these principles talk about the new harvest and the new life, and one of them we talked about in Romans 12:2, a fresh newness in all that we do. I went through all those scriptures, and I just wanted to refresh you on all of those, because in every one of those scriptures, well, let me give you one more. Acts 17, we talked about a new kind of church. And he said, and so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Another scripture, there, a verse of that. It says, Paul also talked every day with people in the marketplace. And I was casting vision last time about the fact that I believe one of the things that we're going to be doing in this new location is having church as much Monday through Friday as any other time. Dealing with people in the workplace. Dealing with a harvest that is so ripe because people are under stress. People are working. People are needing some place to rest, a place of like a little oasis to go to sometimes. And I want to be able to create an environment in the midst of that working community. And as I said, I went to the city hall there in Mendota Heights. I talked to the people there, talked to another guy that actually brought out a map, talked about where churches are, where they're not. And the whole area that we're looking at, there's not a single church in there. That's exactly how I felt God was telling us to go into a place where there had never been anybody to plant the stake of Jesus Christ. Say, hey, this is where we're going to be. This is our new home. And this is where God has directed us. And we're back to a new wineskin. So here's a principle that I want you to understand tonight. New wine calls for new wineskins. That's what this translation says again in Mark chapter 2, verse 11. So a new church calls for a new direction. This new church calls for a new identity. Now, it's not going to change who we are as far as what we believe. Our core values are going to stay the same. In fact, one of the things that I was sharing with Dave Ogren, and I've shared with some of my other pastor friends, when they've asked me about a new name and all this other kind of stuff, what are you going to change and so forth, I said, well, the only thing that's really going to be changing, we're going to be a new church in a new location, in a sense with a new name, with a new harvest field. But it's going to be the same gospel. God hasn't changed. And we're not going to change. We are basically being transplanted from one place to another. That's all. You know, when we moved from Highland Park down to Lakeville, there's some plants that my wife put in pots and brought with us. But I didn't bring the whole garden.
Amen.
Amen. They wouldn't have fit in the truck anyways. And the guy that bought the house wanted to keep some. I missed the peonies. I told my wife, I said, let's sneak back there and see if he'll give us some. Because they're just so beautiful and they're very ornate and they're very...
Fragrant.
Yes, that's the right word. Thank you. And very unique. They're a very special kind. But anyways, you start thinking about things you're going to miss from the old place. And you start thinking about that. And pretty soon you can kind of start feeling homesick. And I'm here to tell you, I never felt homesick at all about my house on Crete. You know why? Because this is where I'm living now is better.
Amen.
I'm sure Abraham thought, oh man, I wish I could go back to... I don't think he ever did. I think he was very happy where he ended up. I think he was very excited about the fact that God led him to a specific place to do a specific thing at a specific time. And as long as we keep our eyes on God and that he's in a sense being the one drawing us into this, then we can get excited about it because God's involved in it. Amen. It's not just saying, well, bless God, I don't like it here, we're going to move. You know, every time my wife and I have made a major decision or major move, we have prayed about it, we have spent time seeking God. God has always given us direction, God has always given us peace, and we follow after that peace and pleasantness. And is it a challenge as you go? Well, sure, sometimes there can be a challenge. But at the same time, there can be excitement about the fact that God is leading you. And the steps of a righteous man are what?
Ordered
of the Lord. He's giving us that those marching orders. And so as long as you're responding to those orders and following those orders, obeying those orders, you're going to stay on track with what God wants. Now, sometimes we don't march as fast. We're going, hut one, hut two, hut three. And you know, God's wanting to hut one, hut two, hut three. And you're like, yes, sir. Hut one, hut two. I'm going as fast as I can. You know, why is that? Because you got these big, heavy boots on. You're carrying this big load. No, I'm casting all that off on the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going as fast as I can, and I'm just hoping you keep up with me. Because I'm saying, come on, church, hut one, hut two, hut three, hut four, hut left, right, left, right. We're going forward, left, right, and you're going skip to the doo da. No, left, right, left, right. That's where we're going, folks.
Amen.
We're going forward. We're marching. Our steps are ordered. And I believe when he gives those marching orders, our responsibility is to go where he tells us to go and do what he tells us to do and get excited about the fact that he's got a plan for us. And I still don't see it all. Every day, I get a little bit more. I get maybe even a little more clarity on something. Oh, okay, that's not quite it. Okay, now let's turn it a little bit. Oh, there it is. Okay. It's like looking through binoculars. I have one grandson that every time he comes to my house, he goes out and he grabs my binoculars. Now, the funniest thing is, the first thing he thinks is funny is he turns them backwards. And he's looking at them and everybody looks teeny tiny. I says, you know that's not right, don't you? Yeah, but it's fun. I said, now, what do you see? Okay, so then he turns them around. But, you know, the problem is, I've got them adjusted to my eyesight.
Yeah.
And I've got them adjusted to long range because I'm usually looking out over the hills watching the deer or something else out there, watching the eagles fly over, whatever. And so he's not interested in that. He wants to look at the cat sitting right there. I said, that's not what binoculars are for. That's called a microscope. You look up closer, but that's not what he wants to do. So he's, of course, readjusting everything. He's dialing this. He's turning things. I'm going, he's messing up my settings here, folks. But he wants to look through those binoculars the way he wants to see things. And he wants to look at what he wants to look at. And sometimes I think we do that to God. God gives us a vision, and then we start adjusting it, turning it backwards, and we start seeing micro things, and we start turning the things. And mine are set so you roll it this way, and the one eye is permanent, and the other one you adjust to the other eye. Because, so, you know, both your eyes aren't exactly the same. But that way you can adjust distance and so forth. And so I have to kind of tweak them, and after he's done with them, oh, Jesus, help me. It takes me quite a few minutes to get it all back, you know, where they should be. Now, fortunately, my daughter-in-law, when she sees him playing with it, now she comes up, takes them away, and hides them. I'm not the bad guy. I'm grandpa. I'm a great grandpa in that sense. So, how has God looked at us? How has God given us a vision? How are we responding to that vision? Are we excited about that vision? Are we moving forward with that vision? I believe we are. Every day we're stepping and moving. In fact, just so you know, tomorrow, Jerry and I are going to go pick up some new speakers that we bought. A church that we are familiar with, tomorrow is their last service and they're closing their doors. And so they were having a big sale yesterday and today. And so Jerry and I went over there yesterday, and they had some very nice, big, expensive speakers for a very good price, and a monitor and a stand that to use for some different things. And so it fit within our budget, some finances that we had for technical stuff, and we were able to buy it very well, you know, as far as on the dollar. And so we'll be picking that up, and that'll be adding. So you won't be hearing a little amp like this. When you hear the new sound system, oh, Lordy, hallelujah. We're not going to have one little bass. I know some people turn down the bass.
Oh, no.
Turn it up.
My wife says turn it up. Well, we got two woofers now. Two big woofers. Woof, woof. So if you don't like the woofers, you can stand in the back. All right? Probably that's where we're going to hit you the worst. You might want to sit in the front. I don't know. But I guarantee you, when we're in that praise and worship, so again, I want you to be in agreement with us. We're going to believe God for some more musicians and some more singers.
Yes.
God's going to add to us. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to see those things come forward. Hallelujah. You know, if we're believing God for these things, I believe that God can lead and direct people here who can play guitar. We have wonderful keyboards. We have bass guitar. We own instruments and the stuff that we have. We just need people to play them and become part of the worship team and be committed to that and make a joyful noise together. Amen.
Amen.
So those are all part of it. So again, Mark chapter 2 verse 11. Excuse me. Yeah. 22. New wine calls for new wineskins. What I want to do is turn to Matthew chapter 9. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. They do not put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Catch that last phrase, because not every translation has that phrase in it, but Matthew's version and Luke's version have that, because it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three have this illustration, this example. But in Matthew's version, he says, and both are preserved. Both are preserved. I started to say this, and I kind of got myself off. But when I was talking with Brother Dave Ogren, he was asking me about the new name of the church and the new direction and so forth. And I've tried to explain this to people, because some people have been concerned about losing our identity as Established Heart Ministries, Established Heart Community Church. And as I've been praying about this for the last few weeks, you know, God's so good. You know, He always speaks to me at different times when I'm driving around, when I'm in that community, or I'm sitting and, you know, meditating on something. And as I was studying this and talking to me about new wine and new wineskins, he said, you know, you might end up with a new location, a new name, a new identity as far as a church is concerned. So don't get hung up on the fact that you're losing whatever you had. You're not getting away from that. You know, Established Heart Ministries, as I was explaining to other people, will still be the corporate covering that we have. That's our 501c3 legal name. All right? We will always be Established Heart Ministries unless we go through all the process of changing that. And as I was praying and asking God, I said, is that what you want us to do? And He said, no. I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because that's a big hassle. So I said, okay, I need to have an answer as to how I'm going to do this. Because I have one identification, a name, built on a lot of scriptures that are so much of who I am. Psalm 112, Colossians chapter 2. There's just a lot of scriptures that are who I am as far as a preacher. I can't help but not end up quoting some of these things. They're still going to be there. So you can't have half of an identity. But He says, the new wine is a new name, a new direction, a new emphasis, a new location, but it's the same vineyard. Oh, I like that. So the vineyard is where the grapes come from. The vineyard is Established Heart Ministries. Mm-hmm. But from that vineyard comes the grapes in which we are creating a new wine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And putting it into a new wineskin.
Mm-hmm.
Going into a new location. Mm-hmm. Now, it's still the same vineyard. So it's still the same 501c3. It's still the same mission. God hasn't changed his mind as what he has told us to preach. All of a sudden, we're going to say, well, now we're preaching a different gospel. Man, after the series I just got done doing about the gospel, I'd be in trouble. It's not going to be a different gospel. It's going to be another. It's the same gospel coming from the same vineyard. But you know what vineyards do? They bottle the grapes differently. Well, we got some red grapes over here. We got some, you know, green grapes over here. We got this color grape. We got that color grape. And we do this. We let this one sit here, and we do this. And this one's called this kind of grape, and this kind of wine. And so we're coming up with a new cask of wine, so to speak, that's going to go into new wineskins. But it's all the grapes that are coming out of our same old vineyard. Does everybody follow that? So we're not getting rid of Established Heart Ministries. That's the vineyard. That vineyard was planted 30 some years ago, and glory to God, it's still. We got vines all over the place, so it's not going away. We got it producing lots. But what we're going to do from that is harvest those things that need to be harvested from it. Use that, put that into the wine press, so to speak, of prayer and of hearing from God, so that we can move forward into this new area. New wine goes into new wineskins. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. Why is that? Because it says it'll burst. It'll break. Now, Luke chapter 5. Turn over to Luke chapter 5, because this actually has... God is so good when he shows you scriptures like this. This is exactly the answer I needed. Luke chapter 5, verse 37, he says, again, the parallel passage to Matthew 9 and Mark chapter 2. Luke chapter 5, verse 37. Again, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Now that's what the others say, but this, Luke's account, goes another step. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. Yeah. New Living puts it this way. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. Yeah. See, it's comfortable finding that. Oh, that was okay, you know, the way we were okay there. Yeah, I like it that way. We were comfortable. It was good that way. I like the taste of it. You know, my wife is an expert brewmaster. If you've ever been to our house, sitting in our kitchen... are these things, they look like aliens, in this jar, a couple of jars. She brews her own kombucha. Some of you know what kombucha is. It's a tea. And she brews this and bottles her own and shares it with people. And we drink it, and it's wonderful. But she's always experimenting. So... and we'll sit down and have dinner, and I'll have my little glass of kombucha there. And if it's yellow or if it's red or if it's pink, I'm thinking, okay, so what's this one made from? So this one's got a little pineapple and some cherry in it. I think the pineapple, is the pineapple and cherry is my favorite? I don't
pineapple
know.
Lime.
Which one?
Pineapple lime.
Pineapple lime? Yeah, but I like the cherry one, though, too. I like them all. They're really good. She doesn't let me drink that much, though, because she can only brew so much so fast, and I would deplete her stock. She can't make it fast enough. So she's brewing this stuff, and I'm drinking this stuff, and I'm enjoying this stuff, and you put it all together, and the taste is wonderful. But then she experiments sometimes. I say, don't mess up. This is good just the way it was. Leave it alone. But then you know what happens? You start just in drinking it. Pretty soon you realize, boy, this is really good. And then you realize, I guess I don't miss the old stuff. One of the best analogies of that is, some of you know that we love Mexican food. and one of our favorite places is called Chevy's. And it used to have fresh salsa on the table. He would bring you chips. I know some of you are already drooling right now, aren't you?
Yep.
All you, Pastor, stop talking about food and drink. But anyway, they bring out this salsa. Well, they decided they were going to change. They didn't bring out fresh salsa anymore. They brought out, is it cooked?
Fire roasted
salsa. And at first I was kind of, where's the old stuff? You know, because that's what you're used to. The fresh salsa with the tomatoes and the peppers. And I was like, this is dark. It's brown. It's cooked. I want the fresh stuff. Well, now that's all they bring out. And so you start eating, you go, now you love it.
Yeah.
I don't miss the old stuff. Every time I read this scripture, I think about these illustrations. The salsa, the kombucha, the things that somebody messes with a recipe and you think, oh, no, don't do that. And then you just eat it long enough and you're around it long enough, pretty soon you realize, you know, I like this better than the old stuff. He says, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. Really? Old wine, and even her kombucha, if left too long and sitting out, turns to vinegar. She has to watch very carefully how many days she lets it sit before she puts it in the refrigerator, how long it does all this, whatever magic she does there. She works her magic on it. But if she doesn't do it right, it turns to vinegar. And then, just get rid of it. And so, old wine in some old wineskin, guess what? That's the way a lot of Christians now say, oh, I don't have anything to do with the church anymore. Because the church has turned to vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
You hearing that?
It's true.
You talk to people.
That's true.
Isn't that true? They don't have anything to do with church anymore. Because their idea of church is they tasted vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, I trust this won't be wasted on you, but what did they do with Jesus when he was on the cross, when they took a sponge? Gave him vinegar. And, you know, there's something about that taste that is so repulsive by itself. Have you ever walked into somebody's house around Easter and you know they were making Easter eggs?
Yeah.
You know that smell, don't you?
Yeah.
There's something about those things that you identify with. And if you walk into a certain place and you just, it's vinegar. I don't want to be a vinegar church. All right?
Amen.
I want to be a fresh brew. I want to be a fresh salsa. I want to have something that people can all taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't want them to say, oh, but the old was just fine. No, it's not. If we stay here much longer, we're all going to turn to vinegar.
Yeah.
Amen.
We got to leave. We got to go. It's time to leave. It's time to move on. It's time to go into that new promised land. It's time for us to get to that place where we enjoy that new promised land. You know, we were watching a show one time, and these characters, they had been holding, saving this bottle for years for a special occasion. And they kept holding it on. And finally, something happened. They felt, well, now this is the special occasion. We better open the bottle. Well, they opened the bottle and they poured it out. And they both took a sip. Why was that? It had gotten rotten and sat so long. They had waited so long. They had waited what?
Too long.
We don't want to be some characters in the movie thinking that we're just going to hold on to this little bottle so long. It's so precious. Huh? No. We're going to get new wine from our same old vineyard, but it's going to be new wine in a new little wineskin. We're going to do exactly what God tells us to do. We're going to have new direction for the things that God is telling us to do. You know, one of the things about the 242 group coming up, we're going to be launching that coming up the first week in September after Labor Day. All of a sudden it's here. Glory to God. But we're going to be doing a series that Andrew Womack does called Don't Limit God, with the intention of getting our minds into this mentality. There is no limits when it comes to God.
Amen.
God has taken the limits off. We're the ones that have limitations. And so we'll be showing those videos and so forth at the 242 group starting in September for about 10 weeks there. And I'm encouraging you that if you're not involved, we're going to try to get to one on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. But again, the principle here is, how do I make sure that what I'm focusing on is this new direction, this new wineskin, this new harvest, this new anything? You just take the word new and put it in there, because that's what he's talking about for us. New and improved, as I talked about last time. Let's read Mark chapter 2 again. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins and the wine is spilled. I believe if we were to have this new vision and we were trying to keep it here and stay here, it would burst. It'd blow up in our face. And he says, and the wineskins are ruined. In fact, I think we've been here too long, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But new wine must be put into new wineskins. The direction, and I believe the instruction that God is giving us, goes back to what I was sharing a couple of weeks ago about a fresh new harvest and newness of life. As long as we stay focused on that, I believe the things that God has in store for us is going to be glorious. I wish I could give you more details tonight, but I can't. Like I say, it's just, I don't have them yet. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for ministry, not just for me, but for all of us. This is going to be a believer's ministry opportunity.
Praise God.
And again, I encourage you to be praying and using that confession we handed out a couple weeks ago about a new thing. Because God is doing a new thing. And I am so encouraged by all the different ministers and pastors that when they hear what we're doing, and they, because we're doing something kind of outside the box for a lot of people. To say, well, yeah, we're closing our church and opening a new church. You're doing what? Why don't you just move and keep everything the same? Because the Lord gave me this scripture. I can't, because I've got the word to stand on for that direction. And when he gives you direction, my responsibility is to be willing and obedient. And if he gives me direction about something and has given me scripture for it for 2 months, and he keeps reinforcing it and keeps reminding of it and keeps bringing other things across my path that confirms that, then we have to do what he says to do. Amen?
Amen.
So that's a good place to quit.